because of her, I think all three of us kids, we're all in the church today. We all have a relationship with God. And I look back at that heritage and admire the influence she had. And so I admire the influence that you have, moms, with your sons and daughters, no matter how old or young they are. And Paul kind of states this with Timothy, and he says this in 2 Timothy. He says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine," meaning the unhypocritical faith that is in you, "which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." And so Timothy, who was a huge disciple of Paul, one that Paul wrote two letters to, came from the heritage of having a grandmother and a mother who truly loved Jesus Christ without hypocrisy. And I look at that and I say, mothers, please do not lessen your thinking with your influence on your kids, because you have influence on your kids. So thank you for that influence, and thank you for what you do. Thank you. All right, we're going to just stop here and have our just silent prayer. I want you to pray about your teachable heart, my teachable heart, and then pray for me. My message was kind of one of those. Have you ever seen where, you know, you're looking at the NASA thing or something, the rocket kind of goes up and comes back down and crashes? That's the way I felt about my sermon last night. So I had people pray last service, and it really helped, and so I appreciate a little extra prayer from you this morning. Let's pray. Father, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Carl Menninger, a famous psychiatrist, once said that if he could convince the patients in psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them the next day could walk out. And you know, I worked in psychiatric hospitals for several years as part of my training, and I find that to be true, that people wander around in the hospitals unforgiven, in that unforgiven state. You know, we're in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, and our subject is forgiveness, God's forgiveness of our sins. For those sinful thoughts, those actions, the foolishness that we've done, our disgusting behaviors, I don't know how to describe it all. He's forgiven. Let's read it together. In him we have redemption through his blood. And you remember last week that we talked about the subject of, or 2 weeks ago, the subject of redemption. Last week, the subject of sacrifice and how we are to give ourselves a living sacrifice. And so we're moving on in that verse. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. This morning we are going to embrace the forgiveness of our sins by God. And the problem that I see with the statement that Paul makes there is it's very simple concept to understand, but on the surface, but it's pretty hard to believe. When you get down to it, the forgiveness of our sins is a simple fact that God has dismissed all of our sin. He has dismissed the verdict against us because the verdict was death. Amen? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the wages of sin is death. And so he's dismissed that verdict of death on us because of our sins. He's dismissed the resentment towards us because we continually rebel against him. And he's dismissed each and every sin, is continuing to dismiss each and every sin, and in the future will continue to dismiss each and every sin in our life according to what he said, not what I say. This is where we have to stand on the Bible. A simple concept, but hard to swallow. You know, the dictionary defines forgiveness this way: the act of pardoning or releasing of somebody for a mistake or wrongdoing. You know, many of us here suffer poor relationships, not only with people, but with God, because of the unwillingness to receive His forgiveness. You know, not long ago, it was quite a while ago, 1988, but not long before she died, in a moment of surprising candidness on television, Margarita Lansky, and she was an English woman, a contributor to the Oxford English Dictionary. She put in 20,000 entries. She was an avowed atheist. She was one of the best-known secular humanists in the world. She was a novelist, and she was even a professor. And she made this statement on TV, and it was just months before she passed away, and she said, "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me." Isn't that sad? She's right. She had no one that counted to forgive her, but we have someone that does count, who is forgiveness. God has forgiven our sin. Yet I see it as not so much a question, has God forgiven us? Because the Bible states it, it's clear, it makes sense. There's nothing shady or foggy about it. I think the question isn't so much, has God forgiven our sin? The question really is, have we accepted His forgiveness? Have we accepted His forgiveness? You know, Jesus thought it was so significant when the disciples came to Him and said, "Teach us to pray." Jesus included this in their very first prayer that He taught: "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." God understood the concept. Jesus understood the concept of forgiveness. You know, years ago, when we were over in Heritage Academy, which is on 8th and Bridge, we had a men's group there, and the subject came up of the forgiveness of God. And we were in the passage we're right now in Ephesians 1:7. And so I saw some hesitation in a few eyes when I asked them about forgiveness. And so I made the statement, "Do you accept that God has forgiven you?" And again, I saw that hesitancy in their eyes. And finally, I said, "What's going on here, guys?" And one of them said, "Yes, I think He forgives everything except when you kill a man in battle. When you kill a man in battle, I think that that is going too far. And I don't think God has forgiven me for that." And there were nods by several veterans in the room. And another one said, "I don't care what you say, Steve. I don't think I'm forgiving for that horrible act. That's an act I live with every day, and I think about everybody every day, and I pray, and I just don't think God has forgiven us for that." And then the other vets nodded. To be honest, it kind of took me back. God forgave our sins, and we believe all is forgiven, except one or two sins, which are impossible for God to dismiss. In fact, I'm willing to bet right now that if I was able to sit and ask you, you would say, "You know what, I believe God wiped out every sin and forgave it for everybody else in this room." But then there's those few holdouts in your life that keep coming up, maybe reoccurring, maybe present, that you may be like those vets and nodding, "You know, I don't know." You know, and I stopped to think about it, and I think, you know what? I wasn't always a Christian. I became a Christian when I was 24, and I think probably I could stand up and match anybody in here. Maybe. So I took these guys to Romans 3:23, and I read the following to them, and I want you to look at this real clear. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We understand that. Being justified freely by his what? His grace. This is all founded on God's grace. Not his emotions, not his whim, not how do I feel at the moment about people. That's not God. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation and appeasement to God by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, his patience, his self-control, even, it means God has passed over the sins that were what? Previously committed. All right, now I think Paul put that in there on purpose because he knew there were going to people say, well, wait a minute, there's some things I've done in my past that I don't think God can forgive. Well, you're wrong. I don't know what to tell you. You're wrong. He's forgiven them all. I don't care what you've done. You may think you're the greatest sinner in the world. You probably aren't. There's probably others out there that have done greater jobs than you on sin. God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. So I asked them, why would you think some of our sins are too much for God? And maybe you might even think that yourself. So let me put it in a different perspective. Right now at 11:45, while I'm talking, God is looking at the world, and there's 6.5 billion people in the world. And out of those 6.5 billion, probably 3.25 of them are sinning right now. Okay? And he's looking at all kinds of things that are going on. Horrendous things are occurring around the world. Deaths on purpose. People killing people for sport. Many people treat their families badly, beating them within an inch of their life. Then there are people that feel like, oh man, you can't forgive me because I've been married too many times. Others have been in devil worship or have dealt with evil spirits. Child molestation, sexual problems, adultery, deviancy, addictions to sin which are done in secret, and God's watching all that right now at 11:45 mountain time. What is it that God hasn't seen over and over and over and over, my friend, and yet still says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Because of his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. You know, I people are funny, and I know I've done this in my early years, and you've probably done this too, but you kind of look for a loophole in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I can remember when I first became a Christian and I got out of all my stuff and I moved from California up to Seattle to be with my parents before I went to Bible school. I read the Bible through. I read the Bible all day long, every day for about 4 or 5 months before my dad told me to get out and get a job. And while I was reading that Bible, there was a little part of me that was looking for the loophole. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, some of the things I did, I'm going to find a loophole, and that loophole is going to send me right to hell. So I read the Bible and read the Bible to cover it to see, is there any loopholes in here because of what I've done? And I think that's kind of human nature to do that, because we go, oh yeah, the Bible covers your sin, and then inside you're thinking, yeah, but maybe there's a loophole and I just haven't read it yet. There is no loophole. I have read and read and read the Bible over and over every year, and there is no loophole. God has forgiven your sin. The question is, are you going to accept that? And that's a yes or no question. God has forgiven us everything. So the question still remains, have you accepted his forgiveness? Or are you one that obsesses over the things that have happened in the past or maybe in the present, and you keep refusing to let God take care of it? You know, I have a friend that I've known for years and years and years. I haven't seen him in quite a while, but he's one of those guys that just cannot let go of the past. He's majorly screwed up in his life, there's no question. And he can't seem to get over it. And I don't know, maybe he's trying to punish himself, because a lot of times I think we kind of think, you know, if we just kind of spank ourselves when we do sin, that's going to work. How's it work for you? It comes right back, doesn't it? Just like a boomerang. And maybe it's because of pride, because we don't want God to have to take care of it all. We want to be able to stand on our own. We need to humble ourselves. And I would see the pain in his face, and I would talk to him, and he would have this regret over his selfishness and his selfish indulgence and his addictions, where he lost his wife and his family and his friends, and he became immobilized with his regrets. And you know, the sad thing is, I would talk to him, but he can't hear the truth because of his mindset. His mindset was, I'm in trouble. I don't know if God will take me because of all that I've done. And I can't seem to get that crummy attitude out of his head. That's a crummy place to live, isn't it? And if I'm talking to you today, it's time to let go of your pride and humble yourself before God. For by the blood of Christ we are set free. This is out of the Good News Translation. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God which he gave to us in such large measure. You know, but at the same time, I'm betting in here there are a certain group of people that are saying and thinking this, I'm Steve, why are you dwelling on this? I know I'm forgiven. So why aren't they struggling? Because they have come to the place in their lives that they truly believe what God says, period. Listen, only God can lift that baggage and take all of that guilt and shame and disperse it. As far as the east is from the west, the psalm says, so far has God cast your sin from you. But you have to let him. You have to stop searching on your own for the right path and the right place that, so that you can heal yourself. You've got to say no to that anymore and humble yourself and come before God now. There is no yellow brick road. You get that? There is a Kansas, but no yellow brick road. Just the road of God's grace. You know, at home, I'm thinking about removing a cottonless cottonwood tree. I have two in the backyard. And when we went down to buy those things, the guy said, well, you know, they grow pretty rapidly, so you get shade and all that kind of thing. And we thought, okay. So we planted them in our backyard, and I can remember we were watching them, and pretty soon they got as high as the fence, and pretty soon they went over the fence, and my neighbor couldn't. We had a neighbor at an angle to us, and he always stared at us, always stared to see what's up. And so we grew those trees up so he couldn't see us. Well, those trees didn't stop growing. We've been there 13 years now, and the things are about 20 to 30 feet high. And the branches, every time the wind breaks, a branch falls off. And I realize, man, that stupid cottonless cottonwood is a weed tree. You know what I'm saying? And then their roots go out like the one I'm looking here. And those roots go all over the place. And when I'm mowing the lawn, I'm bumping around. And, you know, and it's making me mad. And I told Deb, you know, we've got to do something about these roots. And so we looked it up, and they suggested you put fill dirt in all around those roots and get it back up high and replant your grass. And I thought, okay. And I thought, you know what? I just need to chop that sucker down. I need to go find somebody to crawl up that high. I'm too clumsy. I'll get up here and fall out of the tree. And Deb knows it, and I know it. You know, and so if I chop that tree down, think about it for a minute. If I just get at the bottom and chop that over, let it fall where it wants to fall. No, I'm not going to do that. I mean, all the neighbors would kill me. But if I chop that thing down, what's going to happen if I chop it down to a stump? Is my war over with the cottonless cottonwood? No. You can grow right back. In fact, every week that I mow, I have to knock down all the suckers that are growing up from those roots and wanting to start new trees. You know, and the application here is, you have this weed tree inside your heart, and you keep cutting down the tree, but it grows back because you haven't dealt with the roots. Now, you might think not saying anything will help because you may mull things over and look at things, but you really just kind of keep it secret and you don't do anything about it because you think it'll go away. How's it working for you? Doesn't work, does it? So let me give you some radical, practical ideas for healing. Now, I'm not a four-step kind of guy or a formula kind of guy. Used to be, but I realize they don't work much. But I want to give you four ideas here of something you can do. If I'm talking to you this morning and you're the one that mulls that sin over and you don't dismiss it and let it go because it's forgiven, let me just give you four things to think about. First one is, pray for a new life, a new way of living your Christianity. Get on your knees and ask God to show you that new way. Step two, with that prayer request, begin to do your part that God's asked you to do, and that's read His Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so you need to begin to read, and one of the best places to start is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. That's what we've gone over so far. And read it every day until you get to the place that you believe it. You've got to read the previous verses and understand them, believe it, before you can believe your sin is forgiven. I love this in Romans 10, 16, and 17. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how do you get your faith? Reading His word and meditating on His word. And what does His word say? Your sins are forgiven, right? That's what the word says. And if you continue to read it and you memorize it and you dwell on it, you begin to believe it. That's what the scripture says. And then step three, clearly in your mind, define what forgiveness looks like. How would you act if you totally accepted forgiveness and felt forgiven? How would that look? Well, you wouldn't be mulling things over, right? And begin to think, what does that mean in my life? What does that look like? Because you don't know where to go if you don't know where to go. And so you might ask the question, if I'm forgiven, then I would, and you fill in the blank. If I'm forgiven, I am not going to hold faults against other people because they're forgiven too. If I'm forgiven, and it goes on and on, then go to step four. And this is a suggestion that I've done with many people. Get a tablet, a thick one, okay? Get a pencil or pen and list all the things that drive you crazy, all the things that you feel unforgiven for or that keep reoccurring, and you begin to list them, all your behaviors, your bad choices, your wrong words, your inappropriate actions, all the temptations that come at you, write them all down, and then take them to God and pray once you get that list complete. And maybe pray something like this. God, will you please help me to live without these regrets? I want to live a different life than the one I've been living. Take away the burden of these regrets from my life and help me to live a life filled with your grace and belief in your forgiveness. Because that's where it's at, isn't it? And then take your tablet and burn it. dig a hole in your yard or find a barrel, set that sucker on fire, throw a little gas on it to make sure it gets burnt, and burn those that list and say goodbye to those regrets. Because God isn't looking for you to live in regret. Are you following me? He's looking for you to live in joy and bathe in his forgiveness and come to him humbly. And keep repeating those verses until your mind is set. Because you know, God's a pretty big God. He's bigger than we are. It has to be removed, roots and all. It can't be a chopped down tree. It's got to have those roots gone. And that takes the word of God. For by the blood of Christ we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God which he has given us in such a large measure. Father, we come this morning. Lord, we read your words. We know that Christ came. He died on the cross. He's buried and he rose again to even demonstrate to us that not only are our sins forgiven, but we're going to rise again just like you did. And Lord, we read those words, our sins are forgiven. And somehow, Lord, it's really hard for us to accept that in our weakness in this flesh. And so, Lord, I pray whatever it takes for each and every person here this morning, whether it's writing them down on a list, whether prayer will do it, certainly meditation on your word, that we look up all the forgiveness verses and dwell on them until we accept in our heart that we are totally forgiven, past, present, and future, the way you stated it. Our sins in the past, our sins in the present, those things that we are going to do out of foolishness and stupidity, Lord, you're so gracious in your grace to have already forgiven us even for that. And so, Lord, we give you the honor and praise. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is willing to come and willing to die that our sins might be forgiven. While our heads are bowed,